You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Not a new problem, but the problem has accelerated so significantly under the Biden administration and the rollback of the previous administration's policies, the rollback of the Remain in Mexico policy, the ignoring of the Title II provisions, the CDC directive from 1942, which no longer prevents coronavirus-positive children from being brought into this country. The big problem is you've hung the open for business sign on the border, or the we're wide open sign on the border, and people are responding. People are coming in. Entirely predictable. The Biden administration knew this would happen because Joe Biden was vice president in 2014, but it happened previously. So what happened then is happening now. It's just so much more. There's so many more people, so many more children involved in this surge.
Well, he used the word surge. I'll come back to that in a moment. This is April 1, 2021, April Fool's joke. I'll tell you right now, a lot of the stories I'm going to be covering for you and explaining for you and detailing for you over the next 2 hours, it might well sound like, oh, Larry's pulling an April Fool joke. Certainly that isn't true. No, it's true. I'm going to let you know, but I will tell you this is a perfect day to air some of these because it appears like it's all a joke. Well, in a way, yeah, it is all a joke. And the American public is a victim of this April Fool's joke. You were just listening then to Congressman Michael Burgess, Republican of Texas, representing this 26th district. That'd be a northern portion of Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. He is a physician, so he knows what he's talking about when it comes to treating COVID and other illnesses, especially among all these illegals coming across, and the fact that we're not doing anything about it. Now, there is a very big question right there. Right there. It's kind of an April Fool's joke for all of us in the nation to be told you got to mask up, you got to have a vaccine, and you might have to have a vaccine passport to come or go from other states. Hawaii's already considering it. No April Fool's. They're already moving forward with it. Governor DeSantis, Florida, says no way, and I don't expect it to happen in Texas either. But there are those forces pushing. They may try to federalize. They may do it by executive order. You have to have this passport. But the bottom line is right now, while you, American citizens, are under this restriction and containment, thousands upon thousands of illegals are coming across the border. They're either being released, not being tested, or they're tested, and then they have to let them go. They're not doing anything, but filtering them through our nation. So everything we've done to now, if you think it's been effective, it's going to blow up in your face. Dr. Rick Lehman's going to join us a little bit later on some of the vaccine issues. And in fact, there have been some concerns. And then the question, is a vaccine going to be worth it? I have a personal story that I'll relate in case you miss it regarding a vaccine. I'll have that coming up shortly as well. And then, of course, we have this big monster plan by Joe Biden. Well, wait a minute. Before I get away from that, Biden's border chief, I have to point out to you, did admit finally, he finally admitted, Mayorkas finally admitted, the inhumane way smugglers abuse children while profiting off the parents' desperation is criminal and morally reprehensible. Mayorkas, DHS secretary, just suddenly realized that is happening just now. And by the way, the latest word is that Joe Biden's deputies expect 2 million to cross the southern border by September. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, Congressman Burgess used that word surge. Ooh, you got to be careful using that surge word, although Joe Biden has. In fact, he had recently tasked Vice President Kamala Harris to take over this humanitarian crisis. And Biden said, so this new surge we're dealing with, oh, they're not getting the word. AOC says the word surge is militant. Don't be using it. And, of course, Biden is trying to get all America to get behind his $2.5 trillion plan. AOC says we want a lot more. MLB might be moved out of the Georgia. Biden's all in favor because of that new voting law. Georgia-based corporations fighting back. Part of the law in Georgia insists you have to have an ID to vote. Delta, based in Georgia, doesn't like it. But if you're going to board the Delta flight, guess what? You got to have an ID. Of course you do. Not an April Fool's joke, but sounds like it. How about this one? NBC anchor Lester Holt says reporters don't need to tell both sides of the story. They don't need to hear both sides, and they certainly don't need to bother us with both sides of the story. Lester Holt, NBC News anchor, says fairness is overrated. April Fools? No, it's not. We got a lot to cover over the next 2 hours. Let your family and friends, even your enemies, know we're on the air. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, price $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Jolene, I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, please don't take him just because you can.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The question is, what is really being investigated? According to the congressman, there is an extortion conspiracy that was involved here. According to the New York Times, there is a question of traveling with an underage girl for sex in violation of federal law. This is something that the truth could be determined, right? Either she is younger than 18 or she is not. Either he traveled with her or he did not. Those facts are probably established at this point. It's hard to imagine that they're not.
Those are the words of Jonathan Turley, constitutional lawyer, as he appeared on Fox News, talking about the Matt Gaetz story, the allegations that Matt Gaetz, under investigation by the Justice Department for supposedly, sex trafficking and prostitution and involving a 17-year-old girl, at least in one case. Now, Matt Gaetz, of course, has denied all of it and says there's a conspiracy behind this. You have a difficult time probably deciding who's right and who's wrong right now if you're just looking at what's in front of us, because it's very confusing. I mean, it's very confusing. You almost need to have a playbook and numbers and so you can identify all the players and understand it. The basic storyline from Matt Gaetz is that he and his family were the victim of an extortion plot involving a former DOJ official. And he even named him. He put his name out as McGee. He gave the name and said, here's who the guy is. So he went full bore on the information. Now, there's another little twist that's come up in the midst of this. Some of the tales now indicate that it might all be connected to an FBI agent who went missing in Iran 14 years ago. And this is according to documents obtained, reported by the Washington Examiner. Gates' family was approached by former Air Force intel officer Bob Kent, who claimed that he had located former agent Robert Levinson. His family is presumed to be dead. Kent allegedly sought a $25 million loan to help fund an operation to rescue Levinson, promised to help Congressman Gates with legal troubles in return. And basically, according to the document, apparently, that Kent gave Gates' father, which I guess is word for word here, in exchange for the funds being arranged, and upon the release of Mr. Levinson, the team that delivers Mr. Levinson to the President of the United States shall strongly advocate that President Biden issue a presidential pardon or instruct the Justice Department to terminate any and all investigations involving Congressman Gates. All of that apparently written under a title of Project Homecoming. The document stated that Congressman Gates was, quote, currently under investigation by the FBI for various public corruption and public integrity issues. It goes on to claim that the FBI has learned of images of Gates in a, quote, sexual orgy with underage prostitutes. This is all part of the document, apparently, that was sent to the Gates family. And Gates says it's all a lie and it's all an effort to basically extort money. And again, calling for Gates' father to place $25 million in a trust fund account of a law firm representing apparently the Levinson family attorney and former federal prosecutor David McGee. Again, when the story broke the New York Times the other day, Gates quickly rushed out, appearing on Tucker Carlson, and made his denials.
The New York Times is running a story that I have traveled with a 17-year-old woman, and that is verifiably false. People can look at my travel records and see that that is not the case. The person doesn't exist. I have not had a relationship with a 17-year-old. That is totally false. The allegation, as I read it in the New York Times, is that I've traveled with some 17-year-old in some relationship. That is false, and records will bear that out to be false.
Well, of course, then where are the records? Not only for him, but on the other side. That's a question that raised by Jonathan Turley, but let's begin with another point. As far as what Turley sees when it comes to dealing with the New York Times story, and really let's start with the timing of the New York Times story. Let's pick it up.
So I'm a little bit confused as to the timing of this leak and the inability to confirm these basic facts. Clearly, if these allegations are true, he's going to lose his committee position. He's at risk of being sanctioned, if not expelled, from Congress. But if they're not true, the New York Times also has some serious questions to answer, and so do those who leak the story. I just don't understand why we cannot get to the base of this allegation fairly quickly.
I think that's a legitimate question. And I want to take a moment here to point out something that I failed to do yesterday, and a listener called me on it in an email he sent me. I'll share that with you. I was talking about, you know, the timing and the rush to go after Gates because he's a Republican. And I raised the question, I was alluding, and I didn't do it very well, to the fact that no one's really been commenting. No one on the left goes after their own. They certainly, when it's a Republican, they're going to rush in right away and do so. And in the process, I was referring to what has happened with Cuomo, pointing out that Cuomo had not been chastised by Democrats. And as I said, was alluding to at that point, what they always want to do is go after the Republicans, but they turn their back on Democrats. Jonathan sent me a statement, and he said a sizable number of Democrats have called for Cuomo's resignation. He is correct. And I stated that previously, but yesterday in rushing over it, I did not make that clear. Cuomo has been attacked by Democrats, but the mainstream media, they're covering it some, but not to an extent, not like they're going to do with this one. And granted, the Gates allegations are far bigger. You won't want to hear this, but they're far bigger than the allegations against Cuomo. Cuomo leaning in, kissing women, touching them, things of that nature that they didn't want to be touched, felt they were harassed in the office and so forth. That's a far cry from the allegations here involving Congressman Gates that he was involved with the prostitution ring involving underage girls. So I'm not going to deny that, but I also think Jonathan, for bringing it to my attention that I did not specify that those Democrats have been calling for Cuomo's resignation. What'd you say? I'm sorry, what'd you say? Oh, the Hunter Biden case? Yeah, that's something else, right? Well, I'll come back to that. So Turley says the timing of this whole thing for the New York Times. As he said, this is something the truth could be determined. Either the woman they're referring to is younger than 18 or she's not. That's very easily proven, right? He said either he's traveled with her, Gates traveled with her, or he did not. Again, should be quickly verifiable. He said, and he added, those facts are probably established at this point. It's hard to imagine that they're not. And yet the New York Times rushed the story out. The timing? Oh, you can debate all day the timing in the sense of how it's meant to hurt Republicans. But if the allegations are true, if they're true, if they're proven, Gates is the one who's hurt the Republicans. I'll be very clear about that. But I don't know what's true. I don't know what's fact, what's fiction at this point. And Turley brings up another issue. He said it's not just the timing. He said, but one thing Gates had said at one point, he said, I might be a subject in an investigation, but I'm not a target. Now, what's the difference? Again, constitutional lawyer Jonathan Turley.
Being a subject means that you are subject to the investigation. You can become a target, but it is not uncommon. Most subjects do not end up indicted. So it's an important distinction for those of us on the criminal defense side. But when your client is told that you're a subject, you always tell them, look, the difference between a subject and a target is just one indictment away, and you don't make any assumptions here.
Don't make any assumptions. I kind of like that statement from Turley, and he's right. Just because you're a subject, you could be one indictment away from being a target. He's not saying that's happening here either, but he's telling don't make an assumption either way. Now, again, Gates, if you're talking about being a subject, that there's apparently an inquiry already underway involving some others, and he's name surfaced somewhere in it in some fashion, that would explain being a subject, because once a name drops in, they're going to have to go after it. Now, that is, again, assuming that everything's being done correctly. Now, Gates, again, is saying the allegations are all false. And he said, in his opinion, the reason the timing of the New York Times came as it did, because that was released Monday night. Tuesday morning, yesterday, his father, wearing a wire with the help of the FBI, supposedly, was going to get additional information on McGee, the former DOJ lawyer, that was going to basically extort this money because they're going to make about a $4.5 million down payment, and they were going to seize that information right then and obviously have proof. It's not just talk. They're actually delivering, and money's being accepted. Gates said, I think they blew the story that night, so what would happen scheduled for Tuesday wouldn't happen, and to let McGee know that everybody's on to it. As I said, this can get very confusing. And I think the two things you have to remember right now, Gates is not guilty of anything as proven at this point, nor is Cuomo, nor is Hunter Biden. This is a case of an allegation. But this has more apparently substantial information backing it up than what we've seen referenced Cuomo. Then you have the issue about how this information did get out and get into the hands of the New York Times as a leak. Again, constitutional lawyer Jonathan Turley.
I think that it is unfair to have these types of leaks come out in a criminal investigation, particularly when the facts are likely known with some certainty, because it does lead to a lot of speculation on both sides. One side is saying this was part of an extortion conspiracy, which is a very serious allegation, and on the other side saying that it's about this sexual abuse case. In the meantime, the person on this telephone call that the representative is talking about has reportedly said he has no objection to that call's recording being released. Well, neither does the congressman. So why not release that recording? It's not like you're trying to keep information from core parties. They know. Because they were on the call. Yeah. So it, I think a lot of questions have to be answered, including why this leak and so how and the little information we're getting on the base allegations.
I think that's a legitimate point in the sense of why the leak came out it did. And if both sides have said, go ahead and release the conversation, why not? Why not? Of course, the belief by many is, if it's an FBI investigation, the FBI is not going to talk about what's under investigation. That's true. In teaching broadcast students for many years, I told them I'd do a scenario, and the only person they could contact that information was a FBI agent. They would go ask a particular question. Are you guys investigating this? And the FBI agent would reply, we have a policy. Here in the FBI, we do not investigate cases, or rather, we do not discuss cases that we are investigating. And, of course, all the report, ha-ha, see, so you're investigating because you won't talk about it. I said, no, you didn't let me finish my policy. Our policy is we do not discuss cases we are investigating. We do not discuss cases we are not investigating. In other words, there's no clear answer going on here. Where it's going to end if you're spinning the wheel? I don't know. Maybe the ball of the roulette will just bounce off the table. Start it over again. But what has not been started over nor looked at or being raised as an issue is the Hunter Biden story of the laptop. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me correct that. NPR claims he's all been cleared. That's an April Fool's joke. I got it coming up for you. Stand by.
USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So Hunter Biden, the Hunter Biden laptop. Remember when that story broke and how it quickly got covered up and, quote, the mainstream media, or as I now call them, the SCM, the state-controlled media, just ignored it. In fact, refuted it. Wouldn't report it. In fact, big tech began to shut down any Facebook postings or Twitter accounts, in particular the New York Post that broke the story, so they couldn't put it up on their platform to advertise and promote it. And all the others were saying, hey, we don't have any proof of this. We don't have any proof anything like this happened. This is all just nonsense say that there was a laptop that Hunter Biden owned, and on that laptop showed him involving in drugs and also sexual escapades and things of that nature. Remember that story? Yeah, I'm sure you do. Well, here's something you might call an April Fool's joke, but they've been called on it. NPR has been reporting that the Hunter Biden infamous laptop, quote, was discredited by U.S. intelligence and independent investigations by news organizations. No, that's not right. They simply decided to just run that kind of story. There's no background to it. In fact, Washington Examiner editor Daniel Chatelain noticed that inaccurate sentence and blasted NPR on Twitter. Good for him. He said, no, the contents of the laptop have not been discredited. NPR, no response. And you got another conservative strategist. I try to always give you the direction these folks are coming from. Arthur Schwartz also went directly after the reporter on NPR, John Ratcliffe, and he said, John Ratcliffe publicly and explicitly said that he had seen no intelligence. I'm sorry, not talking about the reporter. He's talking about the reporter, how he quoted John Ratcliffe, who was part of the investigation. But he stated that John Ratcliffe publicly and explicitly said that he had seen no intelligence suggesting that the laptop was part of any Russian disinformation campaign. And added that the reporter for NPR is, quote, a garbage reporter who shouldn't be collecting a taxpayer-subsidized paycheck. Well, I second that. You do know, of course, that your dollars support NPR. Because it's national public radio, national public broadcasting. How do I get some of that money? Riddle me that. Tell me how do I do it. Do I have to start a GoFundMe page or save Larry Connors USA Conservative Radio or something? I don't know. But they get away with this stuff because nobody will really stand up to them. And I'm glad to see in this case that some of the other news agencies refuted it and turned it down. And again, when it was originally reported by the New York Post that it contained emails not only about Biden doing sexual escapades and drugs and things of that nature, but details of his foreign business interests, including contracts in Ukraine and China. Ukraine and China. And remember when Daddy was VP and went over to Ukraine and shut down an investigation of Burisma, that energy company that his son was a board member on, and then later joked, hey, I told him, Obama's given me authority to hold back the money, and if you don't do something about that prosecutor, put an end to it, I'm leaving here in about 10 minutes, you won't get your billions of dollars. We'll just shut it off. And he said, by God, well, he said it in a more direct way. They fired him. They got rid of it. Showing what power he had while he was VP. And that's exactly why Hunter Biden got the job to begin with anyway, because Daddy was VP. We just haven't really heard anything from other media about this story right now. But again, as I was saying a moment ago, the director of National Intel, John Ratcliffe, acknowledged there was no Russian disinformation campaign, which the Democrats were trying to say. They know about Russian disinformation because that's what they did for all those years against Trump. All right, Georgia has passed a new voter integrity law. It's under attack. We got corporations going after Georgia and talk about get the MLB All-Star Game scheduled for Georgia out. Take it away from Georgia. What does the president think? Stand by.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
When it comes to insects in the world, we are outnumbered. A University of Nebraska researcher estimates that there are 10 quintillion insects. That's a 10 with 18 zeros behind it. Now you know you need Rodler, Rodler Pest Solutions. Here's another fact. When one insect gets in your home, more will come and spread and multiply your kitchen, your bathroom, your bedroom. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Rottler, family owned and operated for three generations. If you've never used Rottler, I encourage you to start now. If you haven't used Rottler recently, do it now. This is the season when the invasion starts. And remember, we're outnumbered. Get help. Call Rottler, 877-ROTTLER. 877-ROTTLER. Or check the website, Rottler.com. 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions.
This ain't no place for no hero. This ain't no place for no little man. This ain't no place for no hero to call home.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
What do you think about the possibility that baseball decides to move their All-Star game out of Atlanta because of this political issue?
I think today's professional athletes are acting incredibly responsibly. I would strongly support them doing that. The very people who are victimized the most are the people who are the leaders in these various sports. And it's just not right. This is Jim Crow on steroids.
That's Joe Biden. He does love that statement, Jim Crow on steroids, or as he said the other day, Jim Crow like Jim Eagle, which I still don't know what it means. I don't think anyone else does. But and then I also don't understand his point that the very people that are being hurt are the in the major sports are the leaders and so forth. How I don't there's no connect there. Let me just put it that way. But the issue about the MLB maybe moving out of Georgia is real, and you heard Biden basically give it his blessing. Why would they do that? Well, because the Georgia election reform law that got passed, it was trying, of course, to protect voter integrity. Those on the left say anytime you try to push such laws, you're really trying to deny voters. We're going to break it down for you. But Biden is all in favor of moving the MLB game out of Atlanta because of that. That's scheduled now. July 13th is when the game is scheduled. So we'll see if they end up doing it. And he also, as you heard, referred to the Georgia reform law as Jim Crow on steroids. And he went on to say, imagine passing a law saying you cannot provide water or food for someone standing in line to vote. Can't do that. Come on, man. Are you going to close a polling place at 5 o'clock when working people just get off? This is all about keeping working folks and ordinary folks I grew up with from being able to vote. He's wrong all the way around. And in fact, the Washington Post fact checker, don't rely on me, let's go with the Washington Post fact checker, saying that Biden's claim that the new law forbids water or food omits the statute and the limitation, the legislation that allows, quote, self-service water from an unattended receptacle for voters waiting in line. They're not being denied water or drinks on the voting line. They can bring their own. If they run out, there's supposed to be a receptacle unattended available for them to go get it, and then someone hold their place in line. And he also said that the polls close at 5 o'clock. Again, the Washington Post fact checker says, nope, that's not in the law. But are we going to let the facts interfere with something like this? Oh, I don't think so. So here we have, as a result of that, a push to what kind of pressure can we put on Georgia? Not just the MLB, but how about a group of 72 black current and former business executives taking a stand against that law? Because it's not just in Georgia. Texas Senate just passed a law the other day. Now it goes to the House, reforming Texas election law. And the New York Times running a full-page ad today, signed by these business leaders. Headline, Memo to Corporate America, the fierce urgency is now. And it called for corporations to, quote, publicly oppose any discriminatory legislation and all measures designed to limit Americans' ability to vote. And in fact, in addition to pushing the ad in the New York Times, the former CEO of American Express came forward and was very direct.
This is a call for action. What we have heard from corporations is general statements about their support for voting rights and against voter suppression. But now we're asking, put those words into action. And we're asking corporate America to publicly and directly oppose any discriminatory legislation and all measures designed to limit America's ability to vote.
Again, that's a former American Express chairman and CEO, Ken Chenault. I would stand with them if the bill actually is limiting someone's right to vote. But if you look at it, if you don't buy the leftist argument and the way even Biden has, if those who watch that Biden talk about that, about people not being allowed to have water and so forth, they believe it because Biden said it. They're not going to bother checking. They're just going to accept it. Thank goodness. The Washington Post fact checker said, oh, I don't think so. We're going to have to give him some Pinocchios for that because his nose is getting longer because he tells lie after lie. That's pretty much what the Washington Post reporter said. But let's break down what's underway here. As you heard Chenault, again, he is one of the former or current black executive leaders of about 70-plus American corporations that say we need to make sure we don't do anything, that we endorse or support any effort to take away the vote of black Americans. Let me refer you to a statement now from Horace Cooper. He's a Project 21 co-chair. Project 21 is an initiative of the National Center for Public Policy Research to promote the views of African Americans whose entrepreneur spirit, dedication to family, commitment to individual responsibility have not been traditionally echoed by the nation's civil rights establishment. Now, that's the mission of Project 21, and Cooper is a project co-chair. So in reference to, Chenault is a black man, obviously, and so is Cooper. So in reference to what the former head of AMC, or American Express, had to say about this Georgia law and what he's trying to do and get other corporations to join with that ad in New York Times, here's a response from Horace Cooper.
That is, prevent real bona fide Americans who live in Georgia for deciding who the elected officials of Georgia are going to be. That's what this law does. And by the way, everywhere you look, when voter fraud is happening, it's mostly minorities who have been the victims of voter fraud.
And that's why he's saying the law has validity and will help black Americans. Another CEO coming forward, James Quincy, Coca-Cola chairman CEO. Coca-Cola is based in Georgia, in Atlanta. Well, he sides with the other business execs that signed off on that New York Times ad. Listen.
Let me be crystal clear and unequivocal. This legislation is unacceptable. It is a step backwards, and it does not promote principles we have stood for in Georgia around broad access to voting, around voter convenience, about ensuring election integrity. And this is frankly just a step backwards. We've spent many decades promoting within Georgia a better society and a better environment for business, and this is a step backwards. And we're very clear on that, and our position remains the same. This legislation is wrong and needs to be remedied, and we will continue to advocate for it, both in private and now even more clearly in public.
And again, that is the CEO of Coca-Cola. He is saying his company stands with these black leaders as they posted that ad. Now you have, as I said, Coca-Cola has something like 5,000 workers at Metro Atlanta. You start boycotting their product and shutting it down, who's really going to be hurt? Oh, and then you had Delta Airlines. The Delta CEO also condemning the Georgia voting integrity law and saying, I want to make it crystal clear the final bill is unacceptable, does not match Delta's values. Part of the law requires, and this is one of the big things for a lot of those on the left, and it's always the first thing they complain about, you have to have a voter ID, a picture ID, to show you are who you claim to be before you vote. And they don't like it. They don't like it. That's disenfranchising. That's preventing people from voting. And the Delta chairman agrees with that. You should not have to show an ID. That's disenfranchising. April Fools. But fact, if you're going to board a Delta flight, you're going to have a picture ID. The Delta chairman, CEO, says the fact that the Georgia law requires you to show an ID to vote is wrong. You shouldn't have to do that. But if you're going to board our airline, we're going to have to see a picture ID. And again, Horace Cooper of the Project 21 says what many folks that are making all this noise about are missing is that this, all of this noise is about nothing, because the whole purpose was to help protect the vote, especially the minority vote.
The number one reason people give for not participating in our election process is they say their vote ultimately won't count. We need to do things that will ensure that their vote actually will count. And the way you do that is you insist that real people, not ghosts, not convicts, not people who are not eligible because they are either not citizens or not residents in the community, we should let self-government occur. And that's letting real Georgians decide the elections. Coca-Cola ought to know better than to interfere with that kind of fundamental liberty and freedom.
You'd think so. And same thing with Delta when you get down to it. And by the way, Delta, 80,000 employees worldwide, they do 1,000 flights in and out of Atlanta daily. 1,000 flights. It's the hub for Atlanta. All right, you heard Biden say, well, in addition to these corporations, we really should just move the MLB game. When we come back, I want you to hear Horace Cooper, Project 21, and his thoughts about all this politics and sports. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The numbers are in, and the NBA, the Major League Baseball, NFL, the numbers are way down. The American people do not agree with this idea that the sports activity is so important and it needs to be woke. In fact, the American people are rejecting it.
Those are, again, the words of Horace Cooper, Project 21 co-chair, saying what a lot of RA have reflected, that you want to watch the sports game. You don't want to have politics shoved in your face all the time. And the NBA had said at the end of last year, the commissioner said, we're not going to do the names on the jerseys and that kind of social messaging again, but we'll continue in the struggle and the fight type thing. But not on the court, because they know it's cost them. Same thing with baseball, particularly in football. But Biden is already supporting the idea that let's move the MLB game out of Georgia, scheduled for July 13th, as an economic punishment to the GOP-backed election reform legislation signed into law by the governor, that Biden's buying the story that this is basically disenfranchising voters. Again, Horace Cooper with Project 21, which looks out for the interest of black Americans, says no, generally when you have voter laws that allow cheating and fraud, black Americans and their vote is hurt more, and so they think it's not going to count, so they're not going to bother. And in fact, many of the laws that are being pushed and promoted by the left are ending up hurting the people they claim they're trying to help. You want an example? All right, let me give you a couple real quick. New York City. You know, the other day, the story about the Asian woman who was attacked by the man, and we later told you the next day they did identify him, the 38-year-old, had been jailed since being 19 years of age because he took a knife while his 5-year-old sister was watching and stabbed his mother to death, repeatedly stabbing her. And they gave him parole. They're so lenient up in that area. They've already got no bail laws. They, you know, for certain crimes, you don't have to place the bail. We'll just let you go. We'll trust you'll come back. And they go out and commit another crime. And in fact, the statement from the Police Detectives Endowment Association said, when New York politicians and parole board think it's a good idea to release a killer who killed his mother, they certainly can't be surprised that he brutally attacked a woman in Midtown. And in fact, he added, it's time for the city council, state assembly, and the governor to be held responsible for irresponsible laws and decisions. New Yorkers are not safe because of this. And, of course, there's the hate crime element being looked at in this case because he's a black man and the woman he kicked in the stomach, knocked him on the ground, was a Asian woman, 65 years of age. 38-year-old big guy, really a good, he's a bully. I mean, finds a 65-year-old frail Asian woman, kicks her in the stomach. But that's on the East Coast. What about the West Coast? Oh, the West Coast. It's the same kind of nonsense going on that they want you to believe. We're doing this because too many folks are in jail and they're being jailed improperly, and we're just going to make things better for them. Really. L.A. County's top prosecutor, the L.A. County top prosecutor, is downsizing the gang-related department. They got 700 active cases right now, and they are now going to cut the numbers that deal with those dramatically. This is under George Gascon's leadership as the prosecuting attorney in L.A. And other prosecutors also don't like it. I mean, those who are working under, they don't like it. They point out, one of them stated, it's a sad day for L.A. The gang narcotics unit have both been slashed in half. This will lead to more violence in our streets, more victims in our communities. It puts public safety at greater risk. And I remind you again, most of these gangs are operating and victimizing minority neighborhoods primarily. Because they've got that unwritten rule among many living in that area. You snitch, you get stitched. In other words, you're going to have to end up being treated at a hospital if you start snitching. So folks are fearful. And yet they're trying to carry on their lives. They're trying to be good citizens, but all this is going around. They're trying to raise their kids the best they can under difficult circumstances. And now L.A. County decided, well, you know what? Let's just take that gang task force and disband it pretty much disbanding it. All this part of the criminal justice reforms that Gascon has put in place since he came in. Praise, he's getting praise from the criminal justice advocates. They think he's doing a great job, and they like what he's doing. What he's doing, actually, by reducing that force, and then also what he's done previously, blocking prosecutors from filing gain enhancement charges against some. See, they got them on one crime. If they can time to gain, that's another charge. And the prosecutor says, no, don't do that. Just don't hit them that hard. I just wish that these guys, I wish somebody like him would say, you know what, send some of those gang members to my house. I'll keep them in my house. They'll never do that. What they will do is let them roam the streets so they come to your house. Going to pay for it. That's going to be a day of reckoning. Speaking of a day of reckoning, the crisis on the border is getting bigger. The COVID cases are increasing. Where's Dr. Fauci? Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.